Good morning. Well, today we start a new book in the New Testament. Always a great day, I think, through our daily devotions when we start a new book, a new letter. Today we start this really amazing letter of the letter by Paul to the Philippians. The Philippians, you'll remember, are a group of Christians who were the first to hear the gospel in Europe from Paul. No doubt there were Christians in Europe by this stage. There were many already in Rome and in other parts of the world. But as far as Paul's mission was concerned, it wasn't until his second missionary journey, when he was in Troas, at the furthest western extent of Asia Minor, today modern-day Turkey, that he had a vision calling him to Macedonia, the very centre of Macedonia, the very centre of the place of genesis of what was considered the modern world, was Philippi. Philippi was named for the father of Alexander the Great, and as such had this long and illustrious history. The surrounding area around Philippi, still to this day, I've seen it myself with my own eyes, still is lush forest and farmland. It's beautifully drained and watered. It is just the most gorgeous environment. And of course, in the hills surrounding Philippi, there were many, many long generations of miners and gold mines that made this particular region and the leaders of this region fabulously wealthy. I've been to the mausoleum of Philip and his death mask and his armour and the many artefacts that are stunningly beautiful, stunningly crafted, and almost all of it in gold and ivory and other precious metals and gems. These were not people who were familiar with a scarcity mindset. These were people from the very outset who were familiar with wealth and power. So Philippi was one of those really important symbols of what it means to be an empire-building people. You remember that Alexander the Great, from this Macedonian home, projected the strength of the Greek Empire, the empire that he named, that was named for himself. He was the first empire builder, really, that extended beyond the neighboring nations of his own world. The Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Persians, the Egyptians, even the Hittites, had empires that were largely defined by the geography that surrounded them. Alexander the Great was the first who projected his power beyond the neighboring nations to the great world beyond. And as such, became a kind of symbol of what Rome wanted to be and what Rome actually became. Along with that, Philippi was the place where the great hero of Rome, who became the great traitor of Julius Caesar, where Brutus was finally vanquished and his armies were defeated by the forces of Rome, allowing Octavian, who was renamed Caesar Augustus, the Caesar at the time of the birth of Christ, allowing Octavian, the adopted son of Julius Caesar, to take over the throne of Rome. And so here was a place rich in martial and military history. And as such, it became a place where the legions of Rome wanted to retire to. And so if a legionary was someone with a great service record, who had defended and projected the desires of Rome particularly well. He was given land in this area and became a farmer, became a producer of a variety of different crops. And so, therefore, Philippi was not only the administrative center, was not only the legal center, was not only a Latin-speaking Little Rome, as it was called by the Romans. It was eminently positioned as not only a retirement community, but a community with significant wealth and significant disposable income. And it may well be that because of all of that and the kind of the general wealth of this area, that the church grew up with quite a reputation for being the church that would step in when Paul needed financial assistance. When he was in Corinth, towards the end of his second missionary journey, supporting himself as a tent maker, his team, Timothy and the others, came to him with a significant gift from the Philippians and the other Macedonians, which released him to get on with preaching the gospel and not having to run his own business. And now here again, he is writing from Rome with a letter of thanks to his friends in Philippi for the gift that they have sent him that supports him in renting his house, which we know he rented for 2 years in Rome whilst he was under house arrest, awaiting his trial before Caesar. And we also know that Paul was released after that trial and was able to continue his journey towards the west and his mission to Spain. And so the Philippians really were enormously important in Paul extending not the empire of Alexander the Great, the empire of Julius Caesar, but the kingdom of his Lord and Saviour. And so we have these first few verses to read today. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1 reads like this. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. It's a great opening, isn't it? Paul and Timothy. Timothy that they, of course, know because Timothy was part of the team, along with Luke and Silas, who planted the church in Philippi. Perhaps he stayed on in the home of Lydia, who, of course, was the first recipient of the gospel, and her household were the first to be saved and baptized, along with, very soon after, the Philippian jailer, you'll remember. So these two oikoses were the center point around which the church grew up. There is a location for a very, very ancient church meeting house in Philippi, that, like many of these ancient homes, seems to be somewhat styled on the octagonal home that Peter's home became in Capernaum, that was perhaps the first, if you like, recognized church building of all of Christendom way back in the first century. And it may be that because of that, these octagonal church buildings developed well on into later centuries. Did the baptistries and baptismal areas of churches that became much larger, more like basilicas, on into many centuries later, did the baptistries continue to have this octagonal shape? The church in Philippi is doing well. It's expressing its faith to the people around, and it is revealing its maturity in partnering with Paul, not only at the beginning of his mission, but throughout his mission. And as they partner, so they not only give, but they receive a share in the grace of God that is released through their gift. Isn't that interesting? Verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. The partnership that they expressed in their giving was a partnership that came from their heart to the heart of Paul. And so their giving may well have been, of course, financial. Of course, it was financial. But it was expressive of the other capitals that were of greater value. They would send people who represented them in their relational connectedness. They sent people whom they respected and honored for their intellectual and physical capacity to be able to do the work that they were being asked as they took this gift to Paul. And certainly their spiritual capital was represented in these folks as well, and in the way that they gave so generously. But as they give, with whatever it is that they give, in the joy that they give with, they receive a share in the grace that is released through their gift. It is an amazing thing that God, in his sovereignty, chooses to partner with human beings at all. And yet, as we've noted on other occasions, it's quite clear from the incarnation of the Son of God that God's intention from the very beginning is always to partner with humanity in releasing the grace that will share the good news of the redemption of humanity. And humanity itself will be redeemed only when they recognize that God has become a human being and has chosen the path of humanity to bring about restoration and salvation. More of that in the next chapter. And so God is committed to partnership. And so partnership is the means by which his grace flows from himself to us. But the interesting thing is this: partnership is the way in which grace flows from us to others. And as it flows to them, so it returns to us. Maybe you're considering giving to some particular cause that God has placed on your heart. Well, know that as you give, whatever capital, of course, financial is the most obvious very often, but whatever capital you give, as you give it, you are being used as a conduit of God for his grace to another, his gift to another. But in doing that, you've opened up a channel that means that not only do you have the honor, the blessing, the benefit of sharing grace with another, but because the conduit is opened, you receive a portion of the grace that the person now sees multiplied in their life back to yourself. Do you want more grace in your life? Then be a conduit of grace. And as a conduit of grace, be a recipient as you share in the grace that God releases in others to bless others, but also to bless you. Let's pray. Lord, give us generous and open and willing hearts. And may we be the cause of thanksgiving to many. And Lord, as we give, help us to recognize and discern how your grace is not only released from us, but is returned to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you say according to the measure we give, it is returned to us, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. Amen.